This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hope you had a wonderful weekend as we rock through mid-March here on the show, kicking it off. Hard to believe. Yep, spring has sprung, and here we are looking at the tail end of the madness of March. And speaking of that, it is madness when it comes to college hoops, and apparently some people are still doing the bracket thing, even if they have no interest in basketball whatsoever. And some companies are pretty clever about pulling together contests, etc., to try to end the malaise that so many people feel because of COVID and the alienation, as many people still continue to work from home. We look at where we are with COVID, and we've seen that so much has dropped off as far as the death rate, but not the cases. Cases are ticking up in some areas, particularly in Florida. Has become a hotbed because now you have spring break, madness in Miami of a different sort. We'll talk about that. But 542,000 people, according to Johns Hopkins University, have died in the United States. That is out of 29.8 million cases. Worldwide, 2.71 million deaths, and the total cases, 123 million. The big concern, and we know it, is when you keep hearing about these variants that are popping up and how much more deadly they can be, or how many more people are getting COVID as a result of that. The UK strain and the Brazilian strain, and it's really smashed into Europe, because in Europe, I mean, for goodness sake, it's like all the cafes in Paris shuttered again. They've pretty much had to shut down everything in France, and people are tired of it. In Germany, people are protesting against the new virus measures. They want to be out there. But Merkel extended the COVID restrictions into next month, and people are tired of the lockdowns, and thousands of protesters rallied, not just in Germany, though. They also did in other cities in Europe. And so the police, in many cases, I mean, when you're talking, honestly, thousands, they sprayed pepper balls into the crowd, and in some cases, water cannons, that kind of stuff, to try to disperse the numbers of people, because they were just out of control. Like in the German city of Kassel, for example, they did use the water cannon. They did use batons. They did use pepper spray. They had, they believe, up to 20,000 people. People are furious. 20,000 people protesting, right? So AstraZeneca has delivered only 30% of the 90 million doses it promised the EU for the first quarter. That's a big difference. And that's infuriated European leaders. And it's complicated what the struggling rollout is all about. It's made it even worse. And then you have the UK, and they have their own situation going on there, where you had mobs in London, people who weren't happy, and they were anti-vaxxers. Anti-lockdown, anti-vaxxers, you got all that mixed in between. You had hundreds of maskless demonstrators marching through the Capitol against the COVID rules, etc. This is pretty much what we've seen. And some of the rallies were just crazy, out of control. In the United States, I think the big concern still is spring break, especially in Florida. Miami Beach had to declare an emergency, a state of emergency. They've set an 8 p.m. curfew Thursday through Sunday until April 12th. 1,000 people were arrested. I can tell you the traffic in Miami is horrific. Normally, the traffic was so bad, they said it was a four-hour traffic jam because there were so many people that were out. And then trying to manage what's happening on the causeway, meaning getting people in and out, just crazy. So residents are exempt from the shutdowns on the causeway, but they wait in traffic because the bridges were closed during the curfew, so they're sitting there for 4 hours. And when you sit there, there's no way around it unless you're the Batman and you have the Batmobile or you can fly off. I don't see how you can get around it. And those 1,000 arrests, that more than half of the arrests are from people from out of the state. So, you know, they come in and anything goes. It's a party. That's what it is. And here's the thing. The one thing they're saying is, you know, the restaurants were open. They weren't eating at restaurants. They're not going into the businesses, but they're congregating by the thousands in the streets. So that would make you a little bit upset, too, because you're not even getting any runoff from that. So you're not benefiting from those tourist dollars since they're not spending the money. But they're out there in the streets screaming and yelling and everything else. So anyway, that's huge. And we see with the vaccines, where are we in this country with that? Well, more vaccines get distributed, but it's either like the Hunger Games or there's plenty to go around. It just depends on where you live and how it's been dispersed. So, for example, in Florida, everybody that I talked to there, they do say it's just a matter of being a vaccine hunter, trying to figure out where you could possibly get them. I mean, in other states, like Texas, it's opened up a lot wider depending on the county, and there's ways to certainly get it. And I do believe in the great state of Texas, if you want a vaccine, you can get it by May. I think in Connecticut, you can get it well before May. Same thing. In West Virginia, they're crushing everybody. If it were a contest to see who's doing better as far as vaccinating, they'd have to be up there in the top two, probably their tops, period. Probably. So in Michigan, 92% pickup in cases in the last 2 weeks. There's concern there. There's concern in Florida. There's concern of what would happen, what will happen in Texas because of opening wide, 100%, boom, open. So far, too early to tell as to whether or not there's going to be an effectively more cases as a result of that. And then this other crisis that is just incredible, and I think it's going to get even more out of control, is, again, the war at the border. The border is closed. Homeland Security is saying the border is closed. But when Biden became president, it somehow spread through Central America, South America, Mexico, everywhere, that now the U.S. is friendly. Come on in. You're not going to be stopped at the border. And what's happening is you have so many young kids, young migrant kids that are coming in, that there's no way to even find a place to put them in the major places at the border. In El Paso, a facility there, 250 kids it's made for, they've got 1,200 they're trying to process. My, oh, my. Coming up, odds and ends. Hang with us.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
I walk along the avenue. I never thought I'd meet a girl like you. Meet a girl like you. With all my hair up on the eye. The kind of body that hypnotized me through. Hypnotized me through.
Delaney here. Facebook has already connected over 2 billion people to authoritative COVID-19 information. As access to COVID-19 vaccines expands, Facebook aims to help bring 50 million more people one step closer to getting vaccinated. KX Jin, head of health at Facebook, is here to tell us some helpful hints. What tips do you have for us today?
Not only are we working to inform people who want to get the vaccine, we're also working to share real-time trends in COVID-19 vaccinations, intent to get vaccinated, and reasons why people might not. Knowing this information means health departments and agencies can speak to the real issues and concerns that people have, and hopefully lead to more people confidently choosing to get vaccinated.
Where can our listeners go for more information?
If you want to learn more about all the ways Facebook is supporting the COVID-19 vaccine rollout, just search for COVID-19 in your Facebook app to explore.
Thanks, KX. So again, search for COVID-19 in your Facebook app for more information. All right, so we have a really great mic drop moment that I thought was so, so special. Remember when Luke Letlow, who was elected to represent Louisiana's 5th Congressional District, when he unfortunately died of COVID-19, it was such a shocker. Suddenly he's in the hospital, that whole thing, and so young, just in his 40s. Well, his wife is now the first Republican elected congresswoman in Louisiana in that area. Julia Letlow wins that 5th congressional district, and there were 12 people that were vying for that spot, and she got 60+%. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it has to be kind of bittersweet because she wins the seat opened by the passing of her late husband, Luke, and that's got to be tough. But what a way to turn a terrible, awful tragedy around and use what she has to help the people in Louisiana and advocate for them in Washington, D.C. Mic drop. Yeah. Good for you, for the people of the fine people of Louisiana for doing that, because, again, there were other people who wanted that seat, but they went with her. So she was the choice, and that's wonderful. So she's the congresswoman elect, and watch for her. I think she'll do some big things from what I understand from some people I know that know a little bit about excuse me, about Julia. So that's again, a worthy mic drop positive moment. Kind of a little bit of a re-rack for some of what you might have missed over the weekend. I briefly mentioned, or I did mention, what's happening at the border, which is crazy, the handling of it, and what do we do, and moving forward, and what most are placed, these children are placed in Border Patrol custody. They're overwhelmed by the amount. On March 20th, the number of migrants held in the U.S. has reached 15,000. 15,000. So now this surge is what the people are saying, is the shift in policy and tone. And so we go for one administration where they dismantle what was happening at the border to another one perceived to be open the floodgates, and that's exactly what's happened. I mean, you have kids that are 3 years old that are being pushed through immigration courts. They're scrambling to get them some kind of help, some kind of legal help. Can you imagine, right? I mean, just absolutely horrible. Terrible. All right, something else that I think is wonderful, and it's this. It's that, you know, we saw what happened horrible in Georgia with the eight people who were shot, who were killed by the 21-year-old who said he was motivated by the fact that he was a sex addict, and 21-year-old Robert Long said he wasn't motivated by race, but a sex addiction, and killing in these, going to these different spas, killing mostly Asian people. Most of the people that died were Asian. So there were protests over the weekend in a lot of big cities. There were crowds that were very peaceful that were gathering, especially in Atlanta, of course, stop the hate kind of thing, stop the harassment toward Asian people. But what I think is so wonderful is, after reading this story, is there was a GoFundMe page that was set up for sons of one of the Atlanta spa shooting victims, Hun Jung Grant, and it raised more than $2.6 million, and climbing. She was 51 years old. She was a single mother to two brothers. And on the GoFundMe page, Randy Park explained how his mother worked long hours at the spa, was away from home for days or weeks at a time, that they had no other family in the U.S. The rest are in South Korea, and they can't come here because of the pandemic. And he said, I have no time to grieve for long. I'll need to figure out the living situation for my brother and I for the next few months, possibly the year. And he went on to say his mother is one of his best friends and a strong influence on his brother and himself. And in an update, he couldn't say how grateful he was enough to the 60,000 people who posted donations on the page. So get that 60,000 small donations that add up. And it was so heartfelt. He was so honest. That's what it was, that he was sharing how horrible this was. And he said, to put it bluntly, I can't believe you guys exist. People I will probably never meet here nor express my thanks to. So I think that's something that shows you what can happen when people get together, and it's just even that small amount lifting up from our community in the United States, reaching out to people who are in trouble. And we've seen that before on GoFundMe, but I think there was such such a reaction to what happened at those spas and that senseless slaughter of just all those people, that again, was the reaction to that, because it was so extreme and so vile that immediately you just kept trying to think, how can this happen? I just don't understand it. All right, coming up, by the way, I have, because it's Women's History Month, we've got a great, at the tail end of the show, we've got a great female author from Queensland, Australia, and I think her story is one that will be relatable to so many of you when you're in a situation where you're dealing with an autistic child and how people deal with you, educators, etc., going through the system, what happens. And Catherine talks about what it was like and things that happened. And, I mean, it'll really get you. As I know some people who have autistic children, and I've heard some horrible stories about just what people have told them to do. And then also we're going to go and meet Nicholas Papianis, and he's just going to lift you up. He's coming up next. He and I had a conversation off the air, and he was talking about the fact that, you know, you think of martial arts. And I wrote about martial arts in my one book, Invade the Man Cave, because I talk about all different sports, because there's nothing out there that talks about the fun things, the interesting things that happen in sports. And then, yeah, some of the records. But anyway, he talked about how important it was to him, how judo was so huge in his life and from the time he was younger, and how because of the pandemic that was taken away. And you think of things that people love, the things that they love to do that they weren't able to do for a year. Can you imagine? But his writing is so uplifting. Seriously, I don't want to spoil it, because again, it'll really kind of pump you up. It's a good thing for renewal, for spring, for what he observed, how he put it down, the way he wrote it down. I'm giving you too many hints already, but it's really, really good stuff. So I think you're going to enjoy both of them. And the title is excellent: Profound, Obnoxious, Eccentric, Mesmerizing Sayings. Say that fast three times. Great poet. Stay with us.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Another new variant of coronavirus is rapidly spreading through New York. The strain, known as B1526, was first identified in November, with researchers seeing cases rising in February, especially in New York City. Former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb believes the CDC should be working with health officials in New York to sequence cases of the variant. He tells CBS's Face the Nation that the new strain is possibly more prevalent than currently known.
Right now, more than 50% of the infections in New York we know are with variants, and B1.1.5.2.6 is the most prevalent variant right now. We're probably undercounting it because we're biasing our screening, our sequencing towards B1.1.7, so we're probably missing cases of B1.5.2.6 right now. It's probably more prevalent than what we're detecting.
This is USA Radio News. As the Biden administration struggles with a surge in illegal immigrant crossings over the southern border, the White House is trying to be more aggressive in telling migrants not to come to the United States. In an interview earlier this week, President Biden told migrants not to leave their hometowns. But Representative Michael McCaul says the shift in messaging is too little, too late. The Texas Republican tells ABC's This Week that as long as people are allowed into the country, the message will still be, come to the border.
I think it's too little, too late because the traffickers know they can take children from Central America, extort the families, exploit the children on the dangerous journey back to the United States. And now, you know, they're calling back home saying, hey, we got in. So until this policy changes, I would urge the administration to revisit the migrant protection protocols. This worked, and it was very effective.
This is USA Radio News.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me, and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Now from the UK, Nico Papayannis. I love that name. I mean, that's like, I could see hashtag Papayannis. Anyway, he's written a great book of poems and sayings and things he pulled together. It's more than just saying, oh, these are poems. And it's called, you'll love the title, Profound, Obnoxious, Eccentric, Mesmerizing Sayings. So, Nico, thanks so much for popping on.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me, Kate.
So you and I talked off the air, and one of the things that you told me that was interesting, and I thought, oh, this is me. You talked about that you were in the British military, the army, for 2 years, and you said, yeah, I didn't like to take orders. I don't like to take orders either, so I relate.
I do know how important they are at times, but for me, they just don't sit very well.
But one thing that does sit well with you is judo, and I think judo has exploded even bigger than it's been in the past. It just feels that way to me. And I know more and more people that are into judo, both in the States and in the UK and other places. And you actually teach judo to children and to adults. I mean, you love this stuff. How'd you get into it?
So when I was 7, 8 years old, our next door neighbors, they were a little bit older. They were doing it. They took my brothers to do it. And then I eventually was allowed to go. And I've pretty much stuck with it since I was 8, 9 years old. A small break in the middle in your 20s, I just thought, you know, I'm going to do something else. But I got back into it with my own children, and now I'm the coach, and I absolutely love it. I absolutely thoroughly enjoy it. But I haven't been able to do it through the lockdown. I haven't done it for a whole year now.
Oh, wow. And so you must be just itching to do it.
I think my children, my boys are fed up with me throwing them around the living room. So, yeah, I need to go back and do it with somebody else.
What's the best thing about judo?
I think quite specifically with judo, you're learning about life and about yourself. like you are in a lot of the martial arts. But judo teaches you a lot of restraint as well, because it's not an aggressive sport. It might look quite aggressive, but it's quite gentlemanly. It's quite nice. It's quite tame, really, at times. And it does. It teaches me to keep calm, keep my feet on the ground, assess the situation. So, yeah, quite a lot. I do get quite a lot from it.
Yeah, so that's good. I like that analogy of it. Let's talk about your book and what inspires you. What are you writing about? How do you come up with some of the really funny and twisted and interesting things that you have put in this really unique book?
It's only what life is giving to me. I am only looking through my two eyes, watching what's going on around me, and then just how it's registering in my head is how I'm writing it down, how I'm putting it down. So it's only what I'm seeing around me. Yes, sometimes I'm putting my own little twist on it and saying it in maybe an obnoxious way or a profound way, but it is pretty much what I see. Maybe I'm an alien sometimes and I'm just reporting on what I see on this planet Earth, what these humans are doing.
What these humans are doing. I like how you sum it up on the back, and you mentioned this to me, and I was like, oh, that's brilliant. I need to say this. Really, this sums it up. Life, love, death, and some pieces in between. And, oh, it's the pieces in between that are so interesting, right?
Yes, pretty much. That's pretty much sums it up. That's what writing's all about. Life, love, death, and just them little bits and pieces in between.
Yeah. I asked you if you had a favorite poem or something that you had written, and you said something interesting, and I think people listening can relate to this, that no, I mean, you have it's a diary. It's life experiences. So you just keep going and you write what you see, like you said. And at the moment, that's what has done something to move you to write about it, right?
Oh, most definitely, yes. I can't, if I was to stop and say, oh, that's my favourite, then maybe I'm judging everything by that one poem now. And you'll never finish. As an artist, you're always creating something, putting something down, be it on a canvas, on a piece of paper, as a sportsman, as an athlete. You are constantly striving to be a bit better with yourself, with what you're creating. So, no, I don't have a favourite one. Not the moment.
So for you, as we talked about, you know, judo is such a big deal in your life, and for a year you haven't been able to do it, but a year sort of inside, let's say, you go out to get groceries, or I know in the UK there's been some openings and then the complete shutdown and everything in between that all of us have seen, but does that give you more time to write? Has that made you think about things a little bit differently?
No, actually, I haven't written more during the lockdown, no. I've been just, it's felt a bit like a Groundhog Day at the moment. It's got to a Groundhog Day. But I would say in the last few years I have kind of slowed down, purely because I'm doing a little bit more with my own spare time. But I am always writing. There'll be one a week, maybe one a day. It goes up and down. But no, I'm not writing anymore just because of the lockdown. I've half expected some of the things that we feel, so nothing's a real surprise at the moment. And I haven't been seeing anything. I haven't been seeing much to get me inspiration going.
Well, here's to inspiration, judo, and so many other things that'll happen when the door kicks back open again. It's funny, you have two boys, and boys can keep you busy. And I can imagine that they probably have prompted a few funny things, too, that you've written about.
Oh, they certainly keep me entertained. Yes, they certainly do. They've got a different, they're the same but different. If anyone has got children, two, three more, they know that they're not all the same. And yeah, they do. They actually inspire me as well to write different things, and write in different ways. They're both quite creative themselves. One of them's into his rapping. One of them's into violin playing. So they're inspiring me as well. And it's great being a parent. It's great. Yeah, there's lots of things going on, as any parent knows.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And so one of the things that's interesting is, like I said, the name of the book, you can get it on Amazon, Profound, Obnoxious, Eccentric, Mesmerizing Sayings. And
yes. In
what you've got, you have some really, I'll call them pithy sayings. Throw out a few of your sayings for us. They're hashtags. I mean, they're brilliant, Nico. You could put this all over the internet.
The passing of time stops at overing in sublime, shattered and splintered, the majestic moon.
Nice, I like that.
From Memoirs of a Broken Dream. See, I'm not really, some of them are not specific sayings. So they're just snippets from inside the poems that themselves have got the sayings. A dark shadow fell and became the light. Sometimes that's how life feels. That's how it feels. The light comes along, but the light's dark, almost. The very first one, peaks and troughs. So glorious is life when riding the crest. How miserable, though, when it's all you detest. It is life. It's what we see. It's what happens to every single day, no matter what situation you're in, no matter what wealthy situation, what your thing is in life. It's great when it's going good, but not so nice when it's not what you like and what you want.
Yeah, it's those pieces in between. Did you ever think growing up that, hey, I'll put a, you know, I've got some things to say. I'm going to write it down. Did you ever even aspire to write poetry in, of any form?
I've always felt inspired to write because I've got a lot of stuff going on in my own brain, and it's not really imagination. So when I was at school, I would write stories. I'd always get the teacher saying to me, oh, that's really good, that's really good. But no one ever inspired me to be an author, not at all. No, only myself, only looking at the material I had and thinking, I've got to do something with this. And that's really what pushed me into doing it, having so much material. I've got over 5,000 poems that I've written in perhaps the last just 20 years. So what do you do with all of that? So the book seemed inevitable, it really did. And there's more coming. There's been one before that I didn't publish. I printed and gave to friends. But there is more. I'd like to do more. Definitely, definitely.
Wow, 5,000 poems.
Yeah.
I would imagine some of them are stored electronically, but maybe not because you carry around a pen and paper too. Are these all stacked up somewhere?
Everything I do is, I would say 99% of what I've done is written down on a piece of paper somewhere. And they're in books. They're in a photo chest where what you travel with when you put your cameras in and stuff. I've got one of them. And it's just full to the brim. It is literally full to the brim of books and books and books and books.
You know, Nico, you just gave me an idea. You inspired me. You should put all of them around you on the floor and have one of your boys take a photo of that to show this is my work. This is, here it is. I mean, just lay it all out there. I can see that as the back cover or the cover of a book.
I didn't even think of that, so thank you very much. That's quite a good one. I like that, definitely. Yeah, see, that's the thing. See, listening and talking to other people, they can inspire you in a way. I like that. Thank you, Kate. Very nice. Very nice.
Yep, I love that you've written that many and more to come, as you said. So people want to get this book. I mentioned Amazon. Where else can they find you? Is that the best place?
Amazon or Direct Author House, which was an American company, so I self-published with them. They might say it's out of stock, but I've been assured that it's a print on demand. So if people start ordering copies, they'll start printing copies. I can get the copies myself if they wanted to email me, if they wanted to get in contact with me. But Amazon's going to be the best way.
Oh, yeah.
I know it does say out of stock on there. I noticed that the other day, but I can tell Author House now that hopefully there's going to be millions of people rushing for this book, so they better get their presses running. So I'll email them and get them and let them know that I've done an interview.
Yeah, let's alert them now. Nico Papianas, thank you so much for coming on again. Profound, obnoxious, eccentric, mesmerizing sayings. Just wonderful to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kate. Thank you for your time. It's been brilliant. Thank you very much.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get for my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
All right, this time around in Office Corner, we're going to Queensland, Australia, for a conversation with Catherine Steele. And she and I spent some time together off the air, and I'll tell you what, she is so empowering, and she has such a good heart. I can pick these things up right away, and she definitely is a woman who cares. Her book is called The Passionate Long Walk to the Awakening of a New Life. Catherine, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. Much appreciated.
Let's talk about what it was that led you to deciding, you know what, I'm going to write this story. I'm going to write the story based on so much that's happened in my life.
It came about by me subscribing to Hay House, and it said, do you want to write a story? And I thought, yes. I've had a lot of experience in this area of disability. And then the drop-down said, why? And it said, to help others. And that was my main aim, to write the story. Not an ego trip. Yes, to sell books eventually so people can understand what my story's been about, but to help others when they find themselves in a very dark place or are going through a dark night of the soul. And that was my main aim. That's how it occurred.
And your story starts with, your own personal story starts with, you know, you grew up where your father died when you were super young. Your mom had a hard time coping, remarries. You have a stepfather who's dealing with PTSD, and that's a rough time when you're at that point, you know, 8 years old, 8, 9 years old.
And then you start moving along and get catapulted into to life and college and all kinds of also wonderful things, by the way. But as a kid, do you think there was also a resilience to you that maybe built up that allowed you to, which we're going to get to, deal with Asperger's syndrome of your own child?
I think so. I think we're born with a certain personality trait, Kate, that is in us. I always knew that I was someone who didn't take any, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I was only thinking this morning, my mother used to do a weekly wash downstairs and I'd be reading the newspaper and my stepfather came up to see what was going on. And next thing he's roaring at me, rushing at me, and he put his hands around my throat and shoved me up against the wall. And I fought back. I wasn't taking that crap from anybody. So I found it must be part of my personality. I know when I was in a corner and I didn't know answers, I'd come out fighting. I thought, no, this is not good enough. There's something under here that I need to know. So I think we are born with a certain personality trait, and we either use it for good or bad.
And so in your case, when if we fast forward in your life and you meet the love of your life and eventually at a young age you get married and you travel all over Australia and you have a child and the child has Asperger's, and when you first heard that, did you even know much about Asperger's syndrome?
I didn't know anything about it. I was taking my baby to the baby clinic and right from the word go, apart from the major cleft palate, she had no roof to the mouth. One nurse said to me one day, this looks like autism, and I just freaked. I didn't know what it was. It just didn't sound too good. But I put that aside because I had to get my child to 12 months for surgery to correct the cleft palate. She needed plastic surgery. So I sort of put that aside because each day was a major challenge just to keep going. And it wasn't easy because to try and feed this baby, you could take 2 hours, and then within an hour, you turned around and did it all over again.
Wow. So you get through that, and then, you know, your child grows up and has children of her own, and what's that walk been like?
Very intensive. The first child was less than 2 when she was abducted by her father, went missing for 8 months, and I just couldn't bear it, so finally, federal police tracked him down and brought her home. So it's been quite a journey of keeping the family together. There were gaps in my daughter, the way she raised the children, so I'd fill the gaps. If she didn't feel like looking after the kids for the day, she'd drop them off to my place, and I just went on with what I had to do for the family. But it hasn't been easy because in a 40-year marriage that finally ended, and I believe part of that was because of too much attention on the grandchildren and also running a her own business from home. We had electrical contracting business. So it was very full on.
And so you say it's full on. We talked about what your childhood was like, and certainly there were wonderful moments that happened. I love the title of your book, The Passionate Long Walk to the Awakening of a New Life.
What's Some people think it's too long. Some people think that is too long, Kate. I haven't decided what to do about that, whether to change it or not.
No, I like it, and I bet the listeners will let them vote. I bet that they like it.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
So the awakening of a new life. Tell me about the new life part.
Well, it was myself and my daughter. I'm not the person I was when I married, or I had to make a pact with myself when my daughter was born. I thought I could have easily given up, and I remember still sitting at the kitchen table thinking my doctor who delivered her had just passed away, so I made a pact that I would go on to him, and eventually I had to change it to myself. So I became a different person by walking this path, and my daughter, when she was 3, I took her to a pediatrician and he said, oh, she's never going to amount to anything, put her in a home. And that just, it just kills you. You know, it just floors you that a specialist would speak to a mother like that, but that's what they did. And so you have to learn to grow a real tough skin but keep your heart soft, because if you become bitter, you can't make this journey. You've got to learn to overcome those challenges, because in the end, those people don't matter. What matters is the journey that you take. And I was blessed, as I said in the back of the book, my daughter could follow me. She could follow the instructions, and she could come along on the journey with me, what I was trying to teach.
What do you think are the biggest misconceptions about Asperger's, autism, etc., that people just don't understand?
I don't know the thinking today, Kate. I just know that in my time, my daughter's 48, 49 now, 48, and in those times, to have a child with a disability, it was a big no-no. Quite a few members of my family didn't want anything to do with us. Thankfully, I think today, disability visually has come a lot further, but there's still a lot more to go. The changes still have to come from either the person that's working with the person with disability, or basically the person themselves if they want to make changes. Often it's not from an outsider. If you want something better for your life or for your child's life, you have to be the one to stand up and say, I count. I'm important enough in this life. I might look different, I might behave different, but under the skin, we're all the same.
Oh, that's brilliant. Under the skin, we're all the same. I hope people take that away from this conversation. What do you hope people take away from reading your book, The Passionate Long Walk to the Awakening of a New Life?
That basically, that when dark times come or tough times come, as they do in everybody's life, that they find the courage to reach out to others. Don't try and do it on your own. It was hard enough. I turned to books, and books were my company for a while. And when I was, 35 or so, I formed a support group for other parents. I went out and found, I put out hundreds of leaflets. I knew I needed to reach out to others. You've got to reach out to other people. You can't take this journey on your own. And I had 35 ladies at my first meeting. I was looking for someone that had a child like mine. I didn't find that someone, but I found a true friend of 30 years. In fact, at that age, I still, when she was seven, I still didn't know it was Asperger's autism. But as they say today, it's on the spectrum. So she was 19 before she was diagnosed, but a lot of the work had been done. So basically I'm saying it's never too late to start wherever you find yourself, wherever you find yourself in life, and whatever a curveball has been thrown at you, it's never too late to take that first step in a new direction. Is it easy? No, it's hard. But you owe it to yourself. You owe it to yourself to find yourself on your journey.
Wow, perfect place to end this. Pick up this book. You need it. It's on Amazon, The Passionate Long Walk to the Awakening of a New Life. Thank you so much, Catherine Steele.
Thank you, Kate. So much appreciated. I appreciate your time and energy.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits of some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.